We're going to take an item out of order. We're going to move to item 10, which is consider and take possible action to establish an engagement with DLA Piper and add them to the investment legal counsel pool.
Sure.
Tim Price.
I'm going to give a brief overview, and then the representatives from DLA Piper here to discuss the firm and the move and that sort of thing. But just a little bit of a recap. Last fall, we came before the board with a recommendation to establish a small pool of firms to handle all of our investment legal counsel work. One of those firms was Jackson Walker. We got through the engagement process with them in January, and March 1st, the investment team at Jackson Walker announced that they were leaving to join DLA Piper, a much larger firm. It was the investment group of Jackson Walker that we primarily underwrote, so we prefer to maintain that engagement at the new firm. David Barrett, who's here, has confirmed, has confirmed that the same terms and same pricing would move over to the DLA Piper engagement. So with that, if there's any questions for me, I'd be happy to take them. If not, I'm going to let representatives from DLA Piper discuss the rationale for the move and why they believe that's a good thing. Okay. Almost renamed you.
Good to see you all again. Thanks for your tolerance and your patience. I'm David Parrish. This is my partner, Nikki Brennig. We were both here visiting with you all last year. Give you a little bit of background as to why, at the end of the day, our investment funds practice moved from Jackson Walker to DLA Piper. There were a number of factors that worked into it, the first of which was specific client feedback. Our clients collectively, which are in number well over 100, public pension plans, U.S. endowments, insurance companies, family offices, sovereign wealth funds, and development finance institutions had been telling us that they always want us to do what we do, and they do not want us to change our focus, but they need us to be surrounded by people who can help them as their portfolio globalizes. We had both, you know, U.S. tax exempts, including pension plans and endowments, reach out to our team and our platform to help them with some non-U.S. transactions, both in the real assets space in places like Canada, Far East Asia, South America, Europe, India, and Africa. And we were not able to support their needs on those investments because we did not have the tax expertise to handle those transactions, and for a number of our clients that became a risk to relationship that they were not comfortable with, and that they did not want us to no longer have the market knowledge for transactions both in North America but throughout the world to support what they were looking for. And we saw that both with our U.S. non-taxables as well as our foreign investors who were establishing relationships inbound into the U.S. They were telling us, look, you guys just need to surround yourself with better tax assistance, better ERISA assistance, better anti-corruption capabilities, kind of what have you, better derivatives support for their practice. And what we were concerned about with that feedback that had become fairly consistent was that we would lose one of the biggest values that we can provide our clients, which is the ability to see things on a global basis and give them market intelligence in terms of the legal contracting process across all of their investment portfolios. So hearing that, we had to make a decision as to whether or not we could solve the problem within the Jackson Walker framework or not. The firm was incredibly supportive of us trying to solve that. We had identified some tax assistance at another law firm through a lady who worked out of Richmond, Virginia, but the fact that Jackson Walker did not have offices outside the state of Texas created a challenge for them to figure out how they integrate someone who would not be resident in Texas into the organization. And while they ultimately got there, from a comfort perspective, the time frame and the difficulty of getting there created risk to that person joining the platform, saying, I don't want to, like, how do I see my career if I'm a new kind of challenge with respect to the organization? How long is there a long-term support for that organization? So when we couldn't solve it on a patchwork basis, we realized we were asking the firm ultimately to do things that would support a meaningful portion of the firm. Our group was about 10% of overall, you know, revenue at Jackson Walker. But the support that we need to continue to solve the client needs is not going to benefit the other 90% of the law firm whose practices would not benefit from the support of that expertise, which means we're asking them to do something that doesn't make sense for them. And ultimately, taking that conversation plus our concern over the talent that we have. We were very, very fortunate being in Austin, Texas, to have amazingly talented people show up on our doorstep to join our team. But as you can expect, when you have incredibly talented people, they will always have options in their life that you can't necessarily compete with. And so we were concerned that over time with talented people, you know, for example, Laura Kirkham on our team, who was an MIT graduate within the U.S. Navy in terms of nuclear power maintenance before she went back to graduate school, she had the opportunity to leave and become chief technology officer of a new venture-backed portfolio company with her master's thesis provider. I can't compete with that. We can't, as partners, ever, you know, prevent somebody from having a great opportunity like that. But we were concerned about the ability to continue to hire talent if the talent we were going to, you know, need to hire had to relocate purely within the borders of the state of Texas. And so we were concerned on a long-term basis, our ability to provide the client service that we were known for and we are known for, both in the areas in which they're investing, the market knowledge, make sure we have the support staff to provide that service, and also retain those people in a platform in which, you know, the platform we're in now is a little bit more progressive in terms of how it views things like, you know, benefits for paternity leave and maternity leave that are a little bit, you know, kind of on the more forward curve relative to what Jackson Walker historically had been. We were worried about the ability to kind of continue to maintain the practice the way we had it and continue to build it the way we thought the investors would need it as their, as they grow in their investment thesis and as their mindset in terms of risk alters relative to kind of how they engage with legal service providers. So our ultimate decision with all of this was, do we change our focus and our model to only serve a portion of the market and only in a particular segment of the market? Or do we continue to provide the benefits and grow with our clients to help them meet their needs across their investment platform? And the answer for us was to do the latter, not the former. Because doing the former, while it would have been perfectly acceptable and perfectly achievable within the Jackson Walker framework and not cause the disruption of having to move the practice, it wouldn't allow us to fulfill the commitments that we've made to our team members in terms of their opportunity in their careers. And so we thought that the right thing to do was to make the move to a platform, and then we had to go through a series of decisions to make sure we understood who would actually achieve that platform goal for us. What firms were out there that would make sense? Who actually checked the box in terms of the client needs to solve the solution? Because that's ultimately what the decision has to be about, is can, if you're going to make the decision to continue to provide that service and grow that practice, you've got to be in a position that the place can actually provide it. And then go through a series of other decisions. Once you kind of winnow, you know, the universe into what is possible, you've got to figure out what of those options makes the most sense in terms of how you implement. And there were a couple of things that very much moved in the DLA platform's favor relative to some of the other firms we had talked to that also had some of the expertise. One, the platform was actually stronger on the tax side and on the ERISA side for our clients and on the anti-corruption side. So that was the lead benefit. But the second thing was all the other places that wanted to have a conversation with us and have us join wanted us to open an office. And the thing that is the wrong thing for us is for us to be bogged down in terms of management and establishing relationships with an organization that we don't already know, and that could create some cultural challenges for us if, for example, they want to grow in a certain direction in terms of a new location, and we just had a different mindset in terms of the impact of the growth they wanted on the culture of the organization. So we didn't think our focus should be distracted by risks like that. We didn't think our clients should be subjected to risks of us being bogged down in management or not being directly connected into the firm. DLA had an office. The head of U.S. corporate and on their executive committee globally is in the Austin office. So while it's a small office in the sense of 40 lawyers with us, There's a direct connection to the artery of the firm, number one. Number two, we don't have to manage. And number three, that person is also someone who I have known for a long time, coincidentally because our two younger sons went to school together or play on the same sports teams, kind of what have you. And so while we never really had a conversation about, you know, platforms until the latter part of last year, it solved a lot of risk issues to our client base. So when we looked at it, we said, here's the platform that answers our client needs. Here's the absence of management that allows us to focus on the client service. Here's the platform that we believe will attract and retain our people and then provide us the opportunity to grow our team so that we can provide those services without them having to relocate. It's someone we know and we're close in, you know, to the artery of the firm. For us, it just made a lot of sense, understanding that there's no such thing as unicorn and there's always things that will be different from a platform perspective. The positives for us that we've realized is we've immediately seen that benefits of the tax. Our clients have been incredibly supportive. We have found out that there are four lawyers in the UK office. There's a lawyer in Seattle. There's a lawyer in Washington, D.C. There's lawyers in Chicago who all, you know, kind of in pockets were doing what we do. And so we're integrating those folks into our team because they weren't necessarily cohesive. We've also now, as of tomorrow, we have a lawyer joining us from Proskauer Rose in Boston who can join us in Boston, who on a long-term goal will move with his family down to Texas because his wife's originally from San Antonio. But we're just seeing all of the benefits. And so our team has, over the course of the last month, congealed around us. We have now 16 lawyers that have joined us from our old platform. We had three stay behind, one partner who we just think had a different view of what partnership meant than what the other six of us kind of ultimately decided. And as you guys can probably appreciate, culture matters a whole lot in an organization. And we had two associates who stayed behind who wanted to do more work of the kind of local Texas corporate work as opposed to investment funds work. And I can certainly understand that, because if someone is going to focus their career on investment funds work, and they decide to live in Austin and not work in a law firm, other than a Texas Teachers or a UTIMCO or a Texas ERS internal opportunity, there isn't really much of another option to go do something else without actually having to relocate your family. And so those folks stay. We know they'll be successful, but we're very excited about our platform. We've realized all the benefits, and we went through a very thoughtful process before we came to that conclusion. And I apologize for sucking oxygen out of a room. We wanted to give you an overview of our thought process, how we approached it, and what we thought made sense.
I'm not sure I have much to add.
Any questions from the trustees?
And DLA Piper has agreed to the same contract terms and conditions, including pricing,
yes,
as Jackson, as we had with Jackson Walker.
I would just comment, David, I came out of one of the international accounting firms as a background, so I'm very familiar with the issues you're describing. From our perspective, they made recruiting new clients or obtaining new clients, that was a key thing we could offer, the broad base of support. And broader number of offices, et cetera, that you were seeking and obtained and what you did. So what you described makes all kinds of sense to me, just based on my practical experience.
Anything else? Great.
Okay,
thank you so much.
You bet. Absolutely. Thank you all very much.
Okay. So on this item, there is a recommendation by staff to consider and take possible action to establish an engagement with DLA Piper and add them to the investment legal counsel pool.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
We got one of each.
Slow down.
Twice.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Excuse me?
Subject to the same.
Arrangements previous.
Correct.
Firm.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Okay. Again, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes.
We got to work that out, John.
You just say that.